they have all of our photos. They have all of our driver's license photos.
But now some police departments are using new technology.
He doesn't have to take his eyes away from the scene.
You put that into the systems, that's a vehicle you want to pay attention to.
He can be getting information from his equipment.
It's actually a GPS tracker inside.
Having that early detection can give him time to call for backup.
We find that government jumps feet first into these wide-scale surveillance programs.
All of our passport photos, mugshots, you name it.
They don't think through the protections before doing this.
And so they can take a picture off something like social media or even a camera on the street and use that to find someone.
I'm Tanzina Vega, and all week here on The Takeaway, we're looking at how police use technology to fight crime and how these technologies are changing our relationship to privacy in the name of public safety. For decades, police officers have been keeping track of alleged criminals. And today, one method of doing that is through what some people call gang databases. Victor Dempsey thinks he might be in a gang database here in New York City. Last fall, he was pulled over for failing to use his turn signal in what was supposed to be a routine traffic stop. But then things shifted.
So he escorts me to his cruiser, places me in the back of his cruiser. He did not sit me on the side of the curb. He did not place me to stand by the trunk of the car. I'm in his cruiser in handcuffs for a routine traffic stop. So as I'm fidgeting and I'm moving around and I lean forward, at the bottom of his monitor, there was a picture of me. And in like little red letters, it said SRG, Security Risk Group.
Security Risk Group. That's what Dempsey thinks the letters he saw meant.
At a younger age, before my days now, I was involved in a crew. I was actually a member of the Bloods gang.
When he was 17, Dempsey was arrested for attempted robbery and served 2 years in prison. Today, he's a community liaison with the Legal Aid Society. But Dempsey said he still feels as though his past is following him.
I'm 32 years of age now. I have not been in trouble since the age of 19. So all this time went by, and I'm still in a database.
Whether Dempsey is one of the more than 17,000 New Yorkers in the database will be almost impossible to find out. According to the New York Police Department, the database is private. We asked the NYPD about the SRG acronym, and they said it actually stands for something else. And we'll hear from them in a minute. But first, we go back to Victor Dempsey and Anthony Posada, a lawyer for the Legal Aid Society, and they're both sounding the alarm about the use of these gang databases.
To be placed into the NYPD gang database right now, as it exists, there is no requirement that a person commit wrongdoing or a crime.
So in other words, anybody could end up on the gang database, is that right?
That's correct, but I would just say that not just anybody, but primarily people who live in communities of color and in NYCHA buildings, where surveillance and gang policing has been really intensified.
And for those of our listeners who don't know NYCHA, NYCHA is a public housing, New York City housing authority here. Victor, when we sat down today, you handed me a bunch of papers, and one of them is the IDS gang entry sheet. Tell me what this is.
Yes. So the IDS gang entry sheet is what the NYPD is using as pretty much a bio sheet of some sorts with an added section for criteria. There's three sections to it. So the first section would be an individual openly admitting to being involved in some form of a crew or gang or whatever you want to call it these days. The second part to that is what they call a reliable source.
So I just want to stop a second, because so our listeners understand, these are the different ways that someone could end up on this database. One is by admitting, like I say, yes, I'm a member of a gang, right? Mm-hmm. That seems pretty straightforward. The second is if a trusted source, school safety officers, et cetera, can say that person is a member of a gang.
Mm-hmm.
But the third is meaning you have to meet two of the following criteria. Tell us a little bit about that.
So as we're looking at it now, there's six parts to this. One, the first, known gang location. What that means is any neighborhood or any area throughout New York City that the NYPD deemed to be a gang location or crew area where they're predominantly hanging out at, if you live in that area or you frequent that area, you could potentially be targeted as being inputted to this gang database. Scars, tattoos associated with gangs.
Colors. Hand signs.
Everything. And specifically hand signs. And I always bring this up because, you know, when we talk about our youth, right, labeling our youth, And I always relate this to basketball. When someone scores a bucket or a slam dunk or anything, and they get excited, they have these handshakes that they make up just to show camaraderie, so to speak. So you mean to tell me that if someone does a handshake that's not traditional or has all this extra stuff to it, now that becomes a gang sign or gang handshake? To whose standards?
And let me be clear, just so I can be put in this database if I meet any two of these criteria. So let's say I'm wearing certain clothes and I'm living in a quote-unquote gang location. Will I be alerted to the fact that I'm entered into the database? If I get into the database in any one of these forms, does someone say, hey, Tanzina, you're in the database?
No, nobody will not. And I just want to go back to a point that Victor was making about that first category where self-admission is sort of the first prong to be entered into the database, because we have to put it in the context that the communities that we serve do not know what their rights are. The overwhelming amount of people do not know what their rights are. And so when we're talking about the 1,460 youth under the age of 18 minors who are in the NYPD gang database right now, we can tell you that when we go out to service communities and do workshops that are along the lines of knowing their rights with police interactions, so many of them tell us that they have been told by officers to get in the back of their squad cars and to give up their social media information, and they don't know what their rights are. So we need to take that first category in the context of, well, if people don't even know that they can tell the officer, I do not wish to speak to you, I want to speak to my attorney, they're already engaging in unlawful questioning that they don't know is incriminating them. And so all of those 1,460,000 minors, their parents are not being notified, will not be notified, have no way of challenging the inclusion or getting removed from it to begin with. And so what we are left with is this very un-American style of policing that invades our privacy, that does not give people the right to due process to challenge it, and that instead just says, well, because of this, then we need to criminalize your entire community.
We're going to talk to the NYPD as well. And I'm sure one of the things that they would say is, look, we need to know what we're dealing with, right? We need to know who's on the other side of the door before we go into a distress call. We need to understand, you know, if this person is dangerous or not. This is technology that's helping us do our job more effectively and keep New Yorkers safe.
If police officers in their tablets or smartphones now have access to these databases, and upon stopping somebody, they put their information and suddenly all this profile comes up with the very glaring label that says gang involved or gang affiliate, I'm going to respond very differently than if that label did not show up. And in the case of Victor, it prompted what would be a routine traffic stop to be more than just that. And the officer feeling that they had to use that amount of exertion of power because of the fact that the label was applied to Victor.
I want to thank Victor Dempsey, community liaison with the Legal Aid Society, and Anthony Posada, attorney with the Legal Aid Society, for joining me today. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Tanzina.
Coming up, we hear from the NYPD on the use of these databases. Stay with us on The Takeaway.